still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise. From the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out. From the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out to you.
Amen. Welcome. It's good to have you here at Webster Groves Baptist Church as we get ready for worship. Just a couple announcements. I want to let you know, one, there will be no youth night tonight, but the youth leaders did meet, and there will be a schedule coming out of a bunch of youth activities. We have emails for most of the youth parents. If you want to be on an email list, contact Anna or one of the leaders of the church to get on that list for youth activities. Next Sunday, we will have a visiting pastor as we are rotating pastors around with several churches and folks. Reverend Steve Gwynn, do I have that right? Yeah, Steve Gwynn will be joining us. Plan on your calendars to join us then and hear from him. Are there other announcements need to be made? If you would find in your pews the little brown book and register your presence with us. If you haven't already done so, leave a way for us to get in contact with you or share a prayer request in that. If there's nothing else, let's prepare to worship together. Thank you.
Good morning, Webster Groves.
As always, it is a blessing to see you all, to spend time with you, just to be in a place such as this with you. I want to add to what was said just a few moments ago by Dan. Next week, we have Steve, the Reverend Steve Gwynn, who will be the speaker. Steve is the Associate Dean at Central Baptist Seminary, where I teach, where I work full-time, where I leave to go to every Sunday afternoon after church. Steve is formerly on staff at Overland Baptist Church. We have fellowshiped with Overland Baptist Church before. They have come. Twang and Fiddle group has been here and performed before. But Steve was on staff there. And Steve will be a blessing to you all next Sunday. Next Sunday, I will be at First Baptist Church, Cape Girardeau. I will be preaching as part of a series of sermons, bringing in guest speakers for First Baptist Church, Cape Girardeau. They spend a month asking tough questions and how the Bible attempts to answer tough questions, how the church can seek to participate in conversations that are hard. And next week, I will be engaging First Baptist Church Cape Girardeau, as well as the local university that is near First Baptist Cape Girardeau, around the questions of race, seeing all people, regardless of color, regardless of sexuality, regardless of all the things that we usually separate over, how do we see everyone as welcome children of God? So I look forward to being there with them next week, and I ask for your prayers as I travel there next week to speak. With that being said, let us begin our service this morning with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, in a spirit of prayer and thankfulness to our God and Creator. God, we love the words of the song that was sung for us. From everlasting to everlasting, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. And that is why we are here this morning. Is to praise you for the things that you have done, the ways that you have shown yourself faithful to us in the past, and the ways that you will show yourself faithful to us in the future. And if we had a theme for this morning, it would be the words that we're going to see in Psalms 124. If it had not been for you on our side, where would we be? God, that is the reason why we are here today. It's because we understand that you have been on our side. Because all that we have, all that we are, all that we experience in life is because of your grace and your mercy towards us. I pray that you would accept our worship of you today. The loud, boisterous singing, the small, quiet prayers, whatever it is, Lord, we do in your presence today, we pray that you would understand that it comes from our hearts, from a place of gratitude and appreciation for you being God and Father, Creator of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you are able, would you please stand and join in the call to worship? Life can sometimes be very difficult. In the midst of our trials and tribulations, God is with us. Come, let us praise God for God's abiding presence.
Lord, thank you for always being with us, even when we don't recognize your living presence.
Amen.
Let's continue to stand and sing out of the pew book 154, Christ Beside Me. We'll sing verse 1 and verse 2.
My heart, Christ.
Scripture passage this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. When Jesus said his disciples were near the town of Caesarea Philippi, he asked them, "What do people say about the Son of Man?" The disciples answered, "Some people say you are John the Baptist, or maybe Elijah, or Jeremiah, or some other prophet." Then Jesus asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter spoke up, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus told him, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed. You didn't discover this on your own. It was shown to you by my Father in heaven. So I will call you Peter, which means a rock. On this rock I will build my church, and death itself will not have any power over it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and God in heaven will allow whatever you allow on earth, but he will not allow anything that you do not allow." Jesus told his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
And now let's sing out the hymnal number 8, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." We'll sing verse 1, 2, and 4.
As we prepare to pray together, do you have a word of praise and thanksgiving this morning to share? Joe? Very good. That is great. adjusting to college. Are there others? The eclipse was pretty cool. That evening I was in my front yard and a young man, high school age, in my neighborhood walked past and he said, "Did you get to see the eclipse?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And he said, "That was God at his finest." I like that kid. One thing that I'm always thankful for when we come together here to worship are the people who are faithful and in spite of difficulty make it here on Sunday morning. They are an encouragement and an example to me, and I'm sure to many of you, and I'm thankful to God for their lives. Do you have a prayer concern or need you'd like to share?
Ask prayer for my wife, Debbie. She's having a kind of stressful time at work.
Okay.
So just pray for her.
Pray for Debbie. We will want to remember those people who are dealing with Hurricane Harvey and the many difficulties that they have there, and maybe many that they have yet to realize. Don't know just quite what they're dealing with yet. When we do that, when we pray for those individuals who live and work in those areas, let's also pray for the churches and the congregations who will be ministering to them, and for those folks who will be working with disaster relief who will go and minister to them. Pray for Daryl Bess, and glad to see Bill here today, Marjorie. Continue to pray for Walter. Mm-hmm. Okay, we need to pray for Bill, especially on Tuesday when he has this CT scan. Always pray for your pastor. I'd ask you to pray for Friendship International as we begin soon ministering to those who've come from other countries to live in our city for a short time or who will be here for a long time. That we can be friends in Jesus' name and be helpful as we minister to primarily women and preschool children. Pray for all of those who have started back to school, not just to college, but those who've already started, for students and their teachers. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful that today we can be assured that you're in charge. And even though there are things that we don't always understand, we can let you be in charge, knowing that you love us and that you'll give us your very best. And so we pray for those who are dealing with the hurricane. We pray for their safety. We pray for what they need today and what they'll need in the future. We ask your blessings on those who will be ministering to them. We pray for our pastor as he ministers to us and to many others that he comes in contact with. We ask you to give him wisdom. We ask you to speak through him. We ask you to keep him safe. We pray for those who will be studying that you will make them knowledgeable. And we pray that they will also realize and acknowledge that you are there to provide a way. We pray for Bill as he has this test this week. We pray for knowledge for the doctors, and we pray for healing in his body. And we thank you for him and his witness of faithfulness to you. Guide us to have open ears and open hearts as we worship together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now out of our white pew book, we'll sing 103, Think About His Love. We'll sing this two times through.
Give in this morning's offering. I invite you to consider also giving towards the CBF offering for global missions. We are a CBF church who wholeheartedly supports the work that CBF does. And we have a brief responsive reading that will be posted on the wall behind me or posted on the wall. And I invite you to join with me in saying this responsive reading. Jesus said, love. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Let us love with our actions.
Jesus said, go.
Go and make disciples of all nations.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Let us go and proclaim in the name of Jesus.
Jesus said, teach. And remember, I am always with you to the end of the age.
Let us teach the way of Jesus. Let us
Let us teach. Let us go. Let us love.
Our scripture today is from Psalm 124, verses 1 through 8. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Shelter, tower of refuge. Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy.
I must apologize now, because I will not be able to get through this message without crying. And nothing's wrong. Nothing is bad. Nothing is wrong. But I cannot think about all these songs and the idea of being appreciative of what God has done for me without shedding a tear. So my tears are not bad things. They're just an honest way of me saying, thank you, Lord. And I didn't think that it would be that hard to do that this morning. I didn't think that it would be hard for me to preach about God's goodness and God's faithfulness. And it's not necessarily hard. It's just hard for me not to get emotional about it. I am thankful to God for being God in my life. And when I think about how good God has been to me, it's hard for me not to show appreciation in this manner. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you gave your testimony? When was the last time that you stood up or that you sat down before other people and told the story of how good God has been to you? And if you were given the opportunity to give a testimony right now, what would your testimony be? When Darrell and I, and Darrell is my twin brother for those who don't know, when we were going to Sweet Home Missionary Baptist Church in Gatesville, Texas, there was the opportunity every Wednesday night at Bible study to stand up and give a testimony of what God had done for you that week. And inevitably, almost every single Wednesday night, I would go up to the microphone and I would say something goofy about what I thought God had done for me that week. Now, before you get disappointed at me for saying that giving a testimony can be goofy, I want you to listen to the things that I was praising God about. One of my testimonies was about how I put too many weights on a weight bar in the gym and realized at the last second that it was way too heavy and that the weight bar almost smashed me in my forehead. Another time I gave a testimony that I was riding my bike down the street and I decided that it would be good for me to pray to God for safety as I rode. So I decided to close my eyes and pray to God that God would keep me safe on that bike at that moment. Can anybody guess what happened when I closed my eyes and started praying? The bike veered to the right and I ended up hitting a curb and flipping over. And from that incident, I learned that it's okay to pray to God with your eyes open. Life for me and Darrell at the time was nowhere near perfect, but nothing earth-shattering was occurring in our lives. We experienced all the same things that goofy 16, 17, and 18-year-old kids had experienced. So my testimonies were like the ones I just shared. My testimony was thanking God for simple things in life and praying that God would help me make better life decisions. So let's revisit the question again. What is your testimony? What is your testimony? I understand that your testimony may not just be one thing. It may be multiple things. God may have shown God's power in multiple ways through multiple incidents in your life. And the things that you praise God for may be great big things, or they may be really, really small things. But what are those things? What is your testimony? What incidents, what miracles, what blessings do you want the world to know about that God has provided for you? One night when I was 19 years old, I was the passenger, I was in the passenger seat of a car that was driving down Highway 70. And we had just made it to Columbia, Missouri. The car was going about 70 miles an hour when the left front driver's side tire blew. The driver lost control of the car. And we eventually flipped over three times, head over, end over end, over end, over end. And I was conscious for the entire accident. The driver and the backseat passenger were both knocked unconscious. And when the car stopped flipping over, the roof was caved in on my side and I couldn't get out of the passenger side door. So I had to crawl over the driver to get out. And I then had to get the driver and the passenger both out. And both of those people had sustained multiple cuts and bruises, and they needed serious medical attention. But I walked away from that accident with just a scratch on my nose, literally. I walked away from that accident with a scratch on my nose. The car was towed to a lot in Columbia, and I eventually had to go to that car to retrieve some items that were left there. My grandmother drove me to Columbia. And when she saw the car, she began to cry because it no longer looked like a car. She said that she knew that that was going to be part of my testimony for the rest of my life. And she was right. Now, I don't tell you all this to be dramatic. I tell it because it's one of the clearest signs in my life. It's one of the clearest signs in my life that God has been with me. It's not the only sign. I can clearly identify God's presence and God's blessings in my life through multiple simple things, less tension-filled incidents. But events like the accident are clear indications to me that God was present and that God was involved. And that is my testimony, that throughout my life, God has been present. And that God has been involved. My testimony is that God has been with me through the insignificant things and through the important things. Through the loss of our mother when we were 7 years old, God showed up specifically through the sacrificial love that my grandparents and my uncles showed me. God was there through car accidents. God was there through my service as a police officer in the city of St. Louis. When I was participating in unnecessary foot chases in dark alleys, God was there. God was there through other times as well. Through incidents where I knew I was in trouble and I was loudly and clearly calling on God's name for help, God was there. But even during the times when I didn't even think about God, when God was the furthest thing, furthest person from my mind, God was still there. No matter the circumstances, God has been there with me and God has been there for me. When I was aware of it and when I was not. So let me ask the question again. What is your testimony? The passage that was read for us today from Psalms 124 is part of Israel's testimony. It's their recognition that throughout their story, throughout their life story, God was present for them. It's the nation of Israel's testimony of how God had brought them victoriously through rough times and how God had shown them that they were not alone, that God was dependable no matter what the circumstances looked like. There are a few theories of when Psalms 124 may have been written, but no one knows for sure what the events were that the writer refers to. What we do know is that this piece of literature was classified as a community thanksgiving psalm, and it was intended to serve as a collective thank you from the people to God, because God had recently proven God's self to be faithful to them. Reverend Susan B.W. Johnson says, "This psalm is the collective voice of the people of God who affirm the active presence of God in crisis. It is also the voice of one or many who are only just on the other side of sheer panic and fear." Meaning that the memory of whatever it was that God had delivered them from was still fresh in their minds. The summary of the testimony that is being shared through this psalm is found in verse 1. And it says very clearly, "If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side." For some of us, those words may be the sweetest and most important words that we've ever heard. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would I be? Where would you be? Where would we be? I think that God's faithfulness to God's people is part of God's DNA. It's the primary trait that makes God God, or it's one of the primary traits that makes God God. Dr. Eric Zinker says, "The biblical God lives his divinity by showing himself to be a rescuer in and from death. He is the God for us and God with us." The psalmist reminds the people of God's love for God's people by describing a series of predicaments that God gets them out of in short order. The psalmist says that God's faithfulness can be seen through God's actions of protecting the people from human enemies and from natural elements. God protected them when people tried to destroy them and when nature tried to engulf them. Reverend Johnson writes, beginning in verse 2, the bulk of the psalm is given over to a rapid-fire sequence of graphic depictions of terror. In all, there are 6 different descriptions of certain death delivered in as many verses. They are the premeditated attack of an angry enemy, being swallowed alive, the violent sweeping action of a flood, the act of drowning, the savagery of a predatory animal, and capture in a hunter's trap. And God saved them from all these things. So if the psalm is written to the nation of Israel collectively, that leads me to wonder and to ask the question, what is our collective testimony? What is the testimony of Webster Groves Baptist Church? What has God done for us? What has God brought us through? How has God shown God's self to be faithful to our people? I've been here for a little over 2 years total as interim pastor and pastor. And during that time, I have seen God do some things for us. But my memory is very short and very fleeting. But your collective memory, the memory of those who have been here 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, your memory holds more stories of God's faithfulness than I can probably imagine. What are those memories? How has God remained steadfast and true as the world has changed? When were the times that God showed up to Webster Groves or on behalf of Webster Groves, just as other people seem to be leaving or fading out? What mountains has this congregation faced that seemed insurmountable, only to find out that all of this was not in vain, and that you all were not traveling alone, but that God was providing support as you went on? But this psalm isn't just about what God has done for the nation of Israel as a whole. I imagine that the words, the circumstances found in this psalm likely reminded people of singular personal experiences that they had and how God protected them individually. Reverend Johnson says, by creating such a list, the psalmist may be recalling a specific incident in Israel's collective experience. However, just as surely, the graphic descriptions themselves are inviting each individual to remember his or her most overwhelming personal experience of terror and peril. Stands the question, what is your testimony? The writer's clear emphasis is on the fact that God, if God had not been on their side, they surely would have perished. But it's not just about realizing that life could have gone sideways. This psalm is also about praising the God who consistently shows up during our times of need. And because God was there, because God is there, they escape, we escape the wicked intents of our enemies in the world. Blessed be the name of our deliverer, Jehovah, Yahweh, God. And we realize that our only dependable help, our only dependable source comes from him. Reverend Johnson says, Psalms 124 is a psalm of praise and a vow of reliance upon God. But it is also gratitude for survival, the recognition of the fragility of human life, and a documentation of wonder and sheer joy at the triumph over adversity and evil. In the end, this little psalm, this very short psalm, manages to convey two major theological truths, Dr. Johnson says. And those truths are the presence of hope even during impending disaster, and the obligation of thanksgiving to God in the celebration of escape. So I ask you again, what is your testimony? Is it that God healed you of cancer? Is it that God provided you with a job when you most needed it or when you most wanted it? Is it that God made it possible for your child to be able to take care of you when you most needed it? Is it that God blessed you to be able to take care of a loved one when they most needed it? Is your testimony that your body is no longer as strong as it used to be and it doesn't function like it used to, but your heart and your spirit are stronger than ever? Is it that you've lost a loved one, but in the midst of losing that person, other family and friend have stepped up and they've surrounded you with indescribable love? I don't know everything that's going on in everyone's lives. I'm blessed that you all share a little bit of it with me. And what I do know is that all of you all have a story to tell. I don't take for granted the things that you all share through your testimonies and when we share with each other our concerns during our times of prayers of the people. I don't take for granted or disregard the prayer requests that are sent out via email or the stories that you share with me personally. I think your willingness to share what you need from God and how God has supplied your need in the past gives other people in the congregation hope. It gives other people in the congregation something to pray for. It gives other people in the congregation more reasons to continue to trust in God. And I have to admit that I'm one of those people that learns and that's strengthened from you all. Dr. Richard M. Simpson says, this psalm calls us to a greater sense of intentionality to find experiences in our world and in our congregations that bind us together so that we might pray with one voice as the community that exists solely by God's mercy and grace. So I end with the question that I began with and have continued to ask. What is your testimony? What is the story that you can tell? What can we not help but tell other people about God's goodness and God's faithfulness. One of our common testimonies is that we can celebrate because we will never have to worry about what it would be like to not have God on our side, because God has promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. And for that promise, we can be thankful. Because of that, we can all tell our story. Amen. Bow and pray with me, please. Days like today, Lord, all I can, all I'm able, all I want to do is say thank you. And I pray, Lord, that that is good enough. I pray that the phrase, the words, thank you, express the love that we have in our hearts towards you, the appreciation that we have in our hearts towards you, the fact that we recognize that it had not been for you on our side, we wouldn't even be here in the first place. So we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. As we prepare to leave this place and to go about life and experience all that the world has for us in the coming week, I pray that you all would accept these words as words of benediction. No matter what the world throws at you this coming week, I pray that you will remember how good God has been to you, how God has delivered you, and how God has stood by you. And I pray that you would tell the story of God's goodness to anyone that would listen. Amen.